Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Friday, TGIF, the 20th of January, 2023. Glad to have you along on this Friday on the Civic Media Network across the state of Wisconsin, along with our host, producer, engineer, all-around great guy, board gamer extraordinaire, and a friend to dogs, Eric Zahmer.
Am I a friend to dogs?
I know, I made that up.
I would say I'm a friend to dogs.
I don't know anybody who would not like you. You know, you're a friendly guy. You love all things and everyone. I mean, who would not want to be loved by Aaron Zahmers?
Probably somebody.
Well, they're not worth my time. If you're not an Aaron Zahmers fan, you know, just, you know, turn the radio off now. No, don't. Listen to us first, and then you can turn it off. Glad to have everybody in. It looks like you're in Madison, at least. As we look out the window, traffic's going by University Avenue just fine. The roads are actually fairly dry here in Madison. As finally the snow has moved out, I think that is going to be the case for the most part around the state of Wisconsin and around our listening area today. Let's take a look at the weather forecast for you as you move into the start of your weekend, starting off at WRCE, Richland Center, News in the Center. Yes, just mostly cloudy skies. A high of 29 today in the RC. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 18. Tomorrow, Saturday, cloudy. A high of 29. Not bad for the middle of January at all. Moving up to Wausau, Bull Falls Radio. That's WXCO to you and me over terrestrial radio. Today, mostly cloudy, a high of 26. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 13. And tomorrow, Saturday, continued clouds and a high of 25. And over at beautiful Amory Lake Air Radio, WXCE Land, you can expect cloudy skies today. A high of 24. And tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 13. And Saturday, cloudy, and a high of 25. So there, see, weather has moved out. Or not, the weather is still, we always have weather, but the storms, the snow. No, probably the first forecast of how many days, Aaron, that we don't have freezing fog anywhere in our listening viewership in western or southwest Wisconsin or central Wisconsin. That's nasty stuff.
Yeah, thank goodness. Yeah. I haven't had to drive through that. And I'd like to keep it that way.
Wouldn't we all? I've experienced that in the hills and valleys of the Driftless area in southwest Wisconsin. It is not fun. So no freezing fog in the forecast for today. Looks like your roads should be pretty dry and good to go wherever you have to get to this weekend. So certainly thankful for that. We have a couple of great guests coming up today at 8:30 this morning. Our bi-weekly visit with former Wisconsin Badger football player and NFL player Brady Ewing, live from Richland Center this morning. Talk a little bit about the playoffs. Brady actually played for Jacksonville in his NFL career and for a season. And we're going to talk about that crazy game last week where Jacksonville came back and won that. I mean, just an absolute crazy game. I'm going to ask him about the pool. When Jacksonville built that stadium, they built a big swimming pool. And I want to know, A, did Brady ever swim in the pool? And B, what kind of NFL fans go to a game and decide, let's just go swimming? But, you know, a lot of people probably look at Green Bay and think, what kind of NFL fans go to a game in 0-degree weather and take off their shirt? So, you know, that's fair. That's fair. So talk to Brady about that. Also talk about the comments from Aaron Rodgers saying on that he'd rather basically win more MVPs than Super Bowls. He didn't say it that way. We'll have the clip and we'll talk about it. Ron Gronkowski also commenting on that, so get Brady's take on that. And also just kind of looking ahead at the offseason for the Packers, what to maybe expect, some changes to get him back into the playoffs, and who does Brady like in the playoffs at this point? So all of that and more. And any other gossip he might have from Richland Center. You know, always up for some good RC gossip. But Brady's too nice of a guy to bring gossip. But he'll give us his insight on a little sports today. Maybe we'll talk just a second about Wisconsin Badgers basketball as well, finally getting a win back on track against Penn State this week. And then at 9:30 this morning, my former boss, former state senator Dale Schultz, Republican of Richland Center, will join us live at 9:30. Going to be talking about an update on the UW Center Richland or UW Platteville Richland. I just call it UW Richland. The UW Richland campus closure. Dale and his wife Rachel were at that meeting, the town hall meeting, with current State Senator Howard Markline and Representative Tony Kurtz. He was there. He gave his own comments. We'll be talking to Dale a little bit more about the comments he made there and follow up on what is next in the ongoing saga to save the Richland campus. And also get Dale, as a Republican, get his take on what Bob Spindell, Republican Election Commissioner, said this past week about suppressing Black and Hispanic votes in Milwaukee. So Dale Schultz coming up at 9:30 this morning. Also, during our third hour, we'll have Mr. Zommers' board game of the week, what you can play and do with your family this weekend. And to end the show, as always, on Friday, Mimosa Friday, what are you thankful for? Well, we'll talk about what we're thankful for and invite your calls to join us and then give a little mimosa toast to end our weekend. And we are off and rocking and rolling. So looking forward to that and having you along and take your calls as well. Celebrating my youngest godson Jason's birthday, he is going to be 23 on Sunday. Easy to remember his age because he was born in 2000. So whatever year it is, that's how old he is. Very, very easy to remember Jason's age. So I'll be going down, heading down to beautiful Monroe, Wisconsin. Well, it's actually pronounced Monroe. We had a guy on our high school football team named Kevin Monroe. And our coach, Avitus Rip, great, one of the best people in my life of all time, he used to call him Monroe, Kevin Monroe, or Monty. Where's Monroe? So I'll be heading down to Monroe, Wisconsin. By the way, the number one city in Wisconsin for cheese. We determined that. Aaron and I did all on our own yesterday. And if you missed it, dial it up on the podcast. A great segment on cheese across Wisconsin. We're going to take a break. Aaron, any big plans for your weekend before we go to break?
My older sister will be visiting today. Oh, so that'll be fun.
Fantastic. See, family, friends, a good time is had by all. Back with more news headlines, what you need to know on a Friday after this. Stay with us. You're listening to the Town Hall Bulls. To the Town Hall Ball Show. It is 8:15. Certainly there is a season to everything. We're in the winter season. And, you know, I think winter is a time, pardon me, if you live in Wisconsin, you can either complain about winter all winter or you just embrace it, right? And get out. This is a great weekend to embrace Wisconsin winters, whether you want to do some sledding, if you have enough snow, do a little ice skating, maybe do winter hiking. If you dress properly, I'm a big fan of winter hiking. Put on some good boots, maybe some snow pants if you need them. Nice jacket, hat, mittens. Get outside. I think some of the coolest times in the forest, in the woods, on a walking trail are winter, especially when you have a little snow like we do now, because it kind of absorbs the sound. So it's kind of quiet. Good time to pause and reflect. Good time for self-meditation. So enjoy the winter weather. In the news, what you need to know on this 20th of January, 2023, for a Friday. Going to be more snow, especially if you're in the Northeast. A large swath of the Northeast U.S. is gearing up for several days of heavy snow, freezing rain, and a mix of both. That could create treacherous road conditions. About 7 million people in the storm's path were under winter weather alert early this morning as the first round of snow began in Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and Maine. By the way, we never followed up on that lottery story, the $1.3 billion lottery story. And I thought, why didn't we? I don't know why this particular one went under the rug or under the radar, but somebody apparently from Maine won the whole thing. One ticket for $1.3 billion out in Maine last weekend. So congratulations to him or her. President Joe Biden yesterday made his first public remark since batches of classified documents from his time as vice president were found in his private Washington, D.C. office in a Wilmington, Delaware home. Quote, I think you're going to find there's nothing there. I have no regrets, Biden said, about not revealing earlier that the documents have been discovered. Special Counsel Robert Hur is investigating how the president and his team handled the Obama-era classified documents that were recently found in his private possession. The first documents were found on November 2nd, days before the midterm elections, but not publicly revealed until last week, when CBS first reported their existence. The White House has pledged full cooperation with the investigation, but is largely downplaying the political effects of the probe. We talked about this yesterday, and here it is once again in the news. The new 988 National Mental Health Crisis Line has seen a significant rise in call volume since the transition 6 months ago from the former 1-800-273-TALK number. More than 2 million calls, texts, and chats to 988 have been routed to the response center, with the majority being answered in less than a minute. The new three-digit number is intended to be an easy one to remember, similar to how people can remember to dial 911 for medical emergencies. Quote, people are getting help more quickly, said Hannah Wachowski, the chief advocacy officer for the National Alliance of Mental Illness. The 988 Lifeline is just one tool in the ongoing effort to improve our nation's mental health for those who are feeling they're approaching a crisis situation or are in a crisis situation. Again, Tammy Baldwin, U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, helped co-author that bill, got it through, got the funding. So we appreciate Senator Baldwin's help. And again, that number, if you need help, is 988. Three digits, 988. Immigration, the President Biden's administration yesterday unveiled a new program to allow private citizen groups to sponsor refugees from around the world. Under the program, groups of at least five individuals can apply to sponsor refugees to live in the U.S. and help them acclimate to life in the country with the help of a consortium of nonprofit resettlement organizations. The program, called the Welcome Corps, was billed by Secretary of State Anthony Blinken as the boldest innovation in refugee resettlement in four decades. The sponsor groups must raise a minimum of $2,275 per refugee, and those funds will provide initial support for expenses like apartment security deposits, clothing, and furniture. All refugees being supported through the program will be cleared through the same extensive security vetting requirement for all refugees admitted to the U.S., a senior State Department official told CNN. I think this is a great program. I love it. I mean, finally something tangible being done. Because there's a lot of groups in our communities across Wisconsin who would love to help. A lot of church groups love to help. And they can raise $2,275 for a refugee and bring them in and help them set up.
Yeah, that really is awesome. What was the information for that again? How to get to that program?
I think you probably just go Google Welcome Corps. It's just announced yesterday, so I'm not sure if they have everything all set up yet. But it'll probably be, it's being called the Welcome Corps, C-O-R-P-S, the Welcome Corps. So once we get more information, we can let people know how you'd like to do that. But certainly back in the 80s, many Wisconsinites and families opened their homes to Cuban refugees at the time. Lots of Salvadoran refugees, Nicaraguan, Mexican, the list goes on and on. But many, of course, Hmong folks come from the Asian Pacific here to Wisconsin, particularly in Eau Claire, Wausau area, Stevens Point, a huge Hmong community. Wisconsin has been opening of their doors for so long, and now here's a program, the Welcome Corps, sponsored by the Biden administration and really the U.S. State Department. So finally something tangible being done. Follow up on a story we brought you as it broke yesterday morning here on the show. Actor Alec Baldwin, who fatally shot a cinematographer on the set of the movie Rust in 2021 and the films on war, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, will each be charged with two counts of involuntary manslaughter. The family of Helena Hutchins, who was the film's director of photography, thanked prosecutors for their decision. Quote, it is a comfort to the family that in New Mexico, no one is above the law, unquote, the family said in a statement. Baldwin has maintained he was not aware the gun he used during the rehearsal contained a live round. Baldwin said he did not pull the trigger. Just wanted to follow up and put a button on that story. Coming up here in about about 8 minutes or so. I'm going to take a break and be joined by Brady Ewing here on this show, former Badger player, NFL player, talking a little bit about what's happening in the Packer world and about NFL playoffs. Catch up on the phenomenal Badger recruiting. I mean, these guys have been going absolutely nuts since Coach Fickell became the head coach and Phil Longo became the offensive coordinator, literally buying billboards around the state. And in Chicago, and I think in Minnesota, which, of course, has to be driving P.J. Fleck nuts, the coach of Minnesota. Which, if there's any coach in the Big Ten I enjoy driving nuts or like to be seen driven nuts, would be P.J. Fleck, the Flexters. As I don't call them the Gophers, I call them the Flexters. But anyway, We'll have Brady in talk a little bit about, as a former player, what do you go through when you get recruited? What does that all entail? Because I'm not sure any of us really understand when you are a talented high school athlete, what does it mean to have recruiting officers come from different colleges, letters, phone calls, and it's probably changed since Brady's time. A lot more social media, I think, now, certainly. A lot more. And there's all these rules, right, that universities have to follow and adhere to. There are certain times of the year that you can interact with players. There's signing periods. It's a business. I found this out the other day. I didn't know this. In most major university D1 football programs, there is a grad assistant coach, and their only job is to follow the social media of their current players or players that they want to recruit. You're constantly following whatever, 100, 150, 200 different Insta accounts, Twitter accounts, what, TikTok.
I mean, it makes sense. You got to make sure that people on your team or people you're looking at bringing on aren't like using racial slurs or pictures or videos of underage drinking and stuff like that.
Yeah. No, I mean I get it. And at first you think, holy cow, you know, you get paid to just sit at a desk and watch social media all day. Sign me up. But I think, for me at least, in a short order, I would be like, get me out of here.
I think it would become very emotionally draining.
Right? I mean, you'd probably find out some interesting, cool things. And like, oh, I didn't know that. But then again, it would just be like, how many TikTok things of 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds can you follow and be like, okay, next. But yeah, that's an actual job. For some grad assistants, for many grad assistants in D1 programs. And I'm assuming not just for football. Probably for basketball as well. Maybe for hockey. Following all these young people's social media, as Aaron said, just to make sure that nothing goofy is going on. So we'll talk to Brady about all those times. We never have enough. Well, maybe we'll have to expand Brady's time slot here in the future. Because it seems like we always run out of time. But he will be in here in about 5-6 minutes or so. Want to let you know, though, before that, want to remind you, are you a small business? Because I used to have a small business. I used to have a coffee shop, had two. I can tell you from firsthand experience, when you're a small business owner, and you're just starting out, you're trying to make it, money is tight. I know, newsflash, right? Because what you're trying to do is, A, you want to pay your employees. B, you got to keep the lights on and buy your supplies, whether you're making something or selling something, to have a product to sell. And if you're a really dedicated business owner, you're not even thinking about taking a cut or a salary for yourself. You just try to keep the thing going. And you think, how do I get the word out? How do I let people know I'm here? We've got you covered. Because next Thursday, January 26th, less than a week from now, starting at 9 a.m. right here on this very program, Civic Media, our parent company, is giving away $1 million. You heard that right. We are giving away $1 million in ad revenue. What does that mean? It means that you can dial in, well, not dial, you can dial up civicmedia.us/million next Thursday, January 26th. You can't do it before. Only at 9 a.m. specifically. And you fill out a form. It's a short form. It takes less than 5 minutes. Your name, your address, how many employees you have, approximately what your annual revenue is. Why do we ask that? Because we want to divide this up between small, medium, and large businesses who do business, who are based in Wisconsin. It's going to happen in real time. These applications come in. Our sales team, our ownership are going to judge these, review these, and approve them in real time. Once the $1 million of ad revenue is gone, it's gone. It might last to midnight. It might last to, you know, 3 p.m. We don't know. So do it early. The minimum you can win is $5,000. That's the minimum. And then we're going to let you know the next couple of days after that. We'll use that money. We'll help you write the ads if you want, voice them if you want. We will put these ads on the station closest to your business for between a month and 2 months. There's no catch. There's no requirement to buy anything. This is the real deal. Our owners, Sage Weil and Mike Crute, want to do their part to help small businesses, so they're giving these grants out. Our outstanding sales director, Roxanne Charles, has put this promotion together to help you, to help our communities. So be here next Saturday, or next Thursday, the 26th of January, 9 a.m., for the Civic Media Million Dollar Giveaway Grants to Small Businesses. It's going to be great. Also going to be great, Brady Ewing on the other side of the break. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
$1 million.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Time for the temperature sign is now 8:33. Bringing on one of our favorite people here on his bi-weekly appearance, the one, the only, former NFL player, former Badger football player, not Springsteen, but Ewing. Brady Ewing, that is. Good morning from Richland Center, Mr. Ewing. How you doing?
Doing great.
That's Thanks good.
That the intro song, loved it. That takes me back. So it's one of my favorites. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. That was by request. So you said this morning there was a little song or a little story with that song. Would you care to share it with the audience?
Yeah, no problem. So always been a big Eric Church fan, and Springsteen became one of my wife and I's favorite songs as we were growing up and dating. And excuse me, actually ended up being our first dance song at our wedding. So. Good memories, driving around the countryside, listening to that song, our first dance at our wedding. And so, just like it says, it brings back some memories for sure.
And that's what it's all about. Let me just say, if I can just get a personal aside for a second, I had the high honor and privilege of being invited to your wedding for you and your fine wife, Rachel. And I don't say this lightly, because I'm a pretty, I don't want to say a harsh judge, but I've been to a lot of weddings over my life. And you know, here's what's going to make or break a wedding right now. The music and how involved the bride and groom is in the actual dancing part of it and in the party itself. Your wedding was one of the best I've ever been to. It was fantastic. The music was outstanding. You guys were dancing your rear ends off all night long. It was a party into the wee hours of the morning. It was fantastic.
It was awesome. And, you know, so many good friends, family friends, teammates came out, and just having that group of people together to celebrate. You know, my wife and I will be married 11 years this spring.
11 so, years?
Crazy.
Oh, my gosh, Brady.
Already. Yeah.
That's just
but
nuts.
Awesome memories, and a cool way to kick off our marriage for sure.
Well, absolutely. And a cool way to kick off our show with that song. And looking back here this week, Brady, a few things going on since we chatted last. The Packers are no longer in the playoffs. Didn't even make it, Brady, into the playoffs. You're at home. You're against a division rival who has a losing record, essentially. They got nothing to play for, because when they take the field, they find out that Seattle's won. They can't get in no matter what. The Packers, all they got to do is win at home, and they're in. They look terrible, Brady.
They did, unfortunately. You know, I'm a Packer fan, grew up a Packer fan. And I will say I'm loving Dan Campbell and what he's doing in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And to get those guys and that team motivated to come out and play with what they found out, you know, leading into that game, that they really had no chance, but for them to come out and battle and do what they did, it was, honestly, that team's been super fun to watch. It wasn't fun as a Packer fan, but it was, you know, it's cool to see the different teams, whether it's Jacksonville, whether it's Detroit, you know, coming onto the scene and making things more and more interesting.
We're going to talk about Jacksonville in a second, but I think you nailed it on the head. I mean, Dan Campbell, I mean, Detroit, they looked like they were playing for a playoff spot. They were fired up. And I thought you looked at the sideline of the Packers, including Rodgers, and they looked like they couldn't wait to get warm. I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, it, you know, there's clearly was a lack of motivation there, and it was, it's funny how emotion, whether you're watching, you know, the Buffalo Bills come out after the DeMar incident and return a kickoff, you know, right off, you know, with the emotions and riding high and, you know, having something to play for. I mean, that's huge in any sport and anything you do. But you look at football with such a physical, emotional game, I think that is heightened. So,
weren't you playing for the Badgers that when Ohio State came to town and there was that kickoff return for a touchdown in the first? Were you on that team?
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was lead blocking for David.
Look at that. See, right there. He would not have scored that touchdown had it not been for Brady Ewing's block. You've heard it here first. But no,
I don't know about that. I blocked the kicker, but.
But to your point.
That was the last guy available.
But to your point, what does that do for a team? On the first play of the game like that, boom, bada bing, bada boom, you're up 7.
Oh, it's huge. And you look at that, I think Ohio State was number one at that point.
Yeah, they were.
Madison, College Game Day was there. It was a night game. It was the, you know, game of the week. And so there's so much hype and emotion and, you know, stuff, you know, cameras around, just stuff that's different leading into that week. And to come out, and I'm getting goosebumps right now talking about it, but to come out and be able to take the opening kickoff back and the confidence that gives you going into the rest of the game and how it puts them on their heels initially is tough to quantify beyond, you know, the points on the scoreboard, but it's huge.
It was one of my favorite games I ever watched. You know, I watched pretty much every game that you were in your 4 years at Wisconsin. I went to that game day early in the morning. I tried to get tickets and I couldn't. So I went home and watched it. And I was just going nuts just watching the game. And I think that's the same week where you guys beat Ohio State when they were number one in football. And then like a couple of days later, Bo Ryan's team in basketball also beat Ohio State when they were number one. So we took down Ohio State's two number one teams in 1 week. So that was a great week to be a Badger fan. Want to talk a minute.
Unbelievable.
It was. Aaron Rodgers made his weekly appearance on the Pat McAfee show last week and had some comments about next year, about his thoughts on this. And then later on in the week, Rob Gronkowski, former Patriot and a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, was on Up and Adams with Kay Adams. And by the way, what a great name for a show. Your last name is Adams. Up and Adams. I mean, that's just fantastic.
That's great. Must be an early morning show.
You guessed it. You don't get anything over on Brady Ewing. He figured that out right away. So Rob Gronkowski, Gronk is on this show talking with Kay Adams about Aaron Rodgers' comments. Aaron, you have the tape. Let's go ahead and play it.
He said, "Do I think I can still play? Of course. Can I play at a high level? The highest. I think I can win MVP again in the right situation. Is the right situation in Green Bay or somewhere else? I'm not sure. I don't think you should shut down any opportunities. I think there's more conversations to be had." What's your take on that?
I'm totally fine with everything he said, except one major part, and that's the MVP again. It's just that I think I could win another Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then that would have been totally fine. Like, bro, like, why are you thinking MVP? Like, don't you want Super Bowls? Like, Super Bowls are I think, 5 times greater than an MVP award. Like, we all know that you won the MVP a few times now, but, like, you know, everyone would know even more how many more Super Bowls you've won than MVP. So that's why I'm just a little confused about that. You know, about that quote that he just had. I mean, it should be Super Bowls. You should never be thinking the MVP when Super Bowls are twice.
And you've won four. He's better. Won one. And, you know, a lot of people on Twitter and a lot of people are saying.
That's enough. I think that's interesting. You've won four. He's won one. Brady, what do you make of that? I mean, I agree with Gronkowski. What the heck is Rodgers talking about one of the more MVPs?
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's a misalignment on, you know, what his outlook and goals are. And you know, that's been his criticism throughout his career, that he's, you know, had this chip on his shoulder personally and, you know, hasn't been able to turn the page. And there's been parts in his career where they've had a ton of success and he's, you know, been that team guy, but then he kind of reverts back. So it's a team game, you know, and at this point in his career, I would think, you know, he'd be motivated by Super Bowls and winning the ultimate game and the ultimate sport. And so that was, I will say, I haven't listened to the whole interview with Rodgers, what the context of the question was, but yeah, it's a little misalignment there.
I would say so. You played on three Big Ten championship teams. You played for two NFL teams in Atlanta and Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. What's the dynamic? I mean, when you get guys in the locker room who you kind of know are obsessed with individual stats, what does that do to a team? What's the dynamic versus a guy who comes in and says, look, I'm here for the team? I mean, right or wrong, and I'm not trying to get you to talk out of school if you don't want to, but to me, my sense was when Russell Wilson came in for that 1 year and played with you guys and helped get you to a Rose Bowl, my sense was he came in and says, I'm here for the team. But is that right or wrong?
Yeah. Oh, you're 100% right on that. He came in and he did, you know, he was only going to be there for a year. And so he took the approach that he was obviously going to work to be the best he can be. I think everybody needs to do that on a team. But he was going to serve the team in whatever role that was. And he was, you know, fairly vocal about that, whether that was the starting quarterback, which, you know, he was in line to have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. But nothing's given either. So he came in with that approach. He wanted to do whatever he could do to help. And, you know, when you have certain guys in the locker room, you don't, you know, you see it at all levels, whether it's high school, college, professional.
Sure.
Professional gives, you know, much more of a platform for that stuff to happen. Mm. You know, as guys develop their own marketing things and, you know, have their team around them. And it's a different atmosphere. I would say, you know, college does a much better job, at least at Wisconsin, of, you know, guys falling in line with the current culture. With the current mission, you're going to be there for the most part 4 or 5 years. So it's a much different mindset, although still a business.
Sure.
So yeah, but no doubt that wreaks havoc on teams when you have specific guys that you're looking to as leaders, you know, focusing on the wrong things.
Very quickly, Aaron Rodgers, does he come back as the quarterback for the Packers next year? Yes or no?
Oh man. I think he does.
I agree. 59 million reasons to why he comes back. Guaranteed. If he can find those 59 million reasons elsewhere, I mean, God love him, but I just don't think he will. I think he comes back in the green and gold next year simply because of that. Want to talk a bit about Jacksonville. Now, they played last week in the playoffs. They were behind 27-0, and my youngest godson, Jason, and I were watching, and we turned it off. We decided to watch a movie. And we got done with the movie, and he looked at his phone, and he says, holy crap, and that's paraphrasing. He said, holy crap, Jacksonville came back and won. I'm like, get out. I mean, 4 interceptions in the first half, down 27-0, Jacksonville finds a way. And you played at Jacksonville for a season. Here's the big question that has almost nothing to do with football. They have a big swimming pool built into their stadium. A, did you ever swim? Did you ever swim in that pool? And what's up with these fans that go swimming during a game?
It's awesome. It's something different, right? And that was being put in when I was down there early in my, you know, short time there in a year. But it was something different. It's something unique. I never did swim in it, but we saw plenty of people swimming in it, and it's unique because as you look up there from the field, you know, they actually have glass on the front part of it, so you can see underneath the water, so it's interesting. But on the TV, I was in a similar situation watching the game. You know, Rachel and I turned it on, and it was feeling like it was a blowout, so it was kind of a bummer. And so we put on something else, and the same thing. I checked the score later in the evening. I'm like, dang, we got to tune back into this. This is getting interesting now, and it's so cool to see, you know, Jacksonville have success, and the owner Shad Khan and just the owners down there do so much for the city, and you know, Doug Peterson, you know, have had the chance to meet him. Just an awesome guy,
really?
And doing fantastic things.
He gets so accolades. You're saying he's the real deal because he gets accolades an awful lot from a lot of people.
Oh, he is. Yeah, when I had graduated from Wisconsin and was getting worked out by some NFL teams in Madison, you know, around the draft time, actually he came and worked Russell and I out.
Oh, really?
Leading into the draft. So I had the chance to, you know, do a two-on-one workout with him, just running some routes with Russell, you know, working on some different cuts and things, and then also go to lunch with him and just, you know, catch up with Russell and him. So it was awesome guy, you know, can't say enough good things about him, his approach, and his leadership style. So it's really cool to see that, but also Jacksonville having some good success.
That's right. And do they play, is it Jacksonville, Kansas City this week, I think? They go to Kansas City, is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. Who do you like in that game?
Very interesting. Honestly, I'll probably take Kansas City if I had to choose, but I would, in the back of my head, be pulling for Jacksonville much more than that.
And Doug Peterson and... oh, good gosh. I can't think of the coach's name of Kansas City all of a sudden. They coached together at Green Bay, right?
Andy Reid?
Yeah, Andy Reid. Didn't they coach together at Green Bay for a season or two?
Seems I believe like. So. Yeah, there's a lot of overlap in those coaching trees.
We'll be back.
It's really cool.
Hang on, Brady. We'll be back after really this. Cool. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. The Tolerable Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Time is now 8:50. Join us a little bit later in the show. We'll have a drink in our hand. It's Mimosa Friday here on the show. What we're thankful for. We'll be talking about that in the third hour. Also thankful, as always, we have our bi-weekly visit with Mr. Brady Ewing, former NFL player, former Badger player, three-time Big Ten champion. I like how he just casually throws out, I was hanging out with Russell Wilson, Doug Peterson. We're just throwing the ball around, having lunch. See, this is why I love this program. And this dude, lived like a house between me and my mom for a while. Just the fact that I get to know cool people and I get to live vicariously through my friends. That's what I love. because my life isn't that exciting.
No, don't shortchange yourself. But it's been... I think that's what's so cool about where we grew up, right. Richland Center, and so many people that have played a big role in helping me accomplish and have some of the opportunities I did. So it's cool to share that with you, with others here listening. So
we appreciate you coming on, Brady, because when we first talked about doing this, I said that's kind of one of I think it's the world of you and your family, but B, I mean, you've had some cool experiences in your life, and I think it's important as our show goes out to a lot of rural Wisconsin, be it in southwest Wisconsin, in the Wausau area, in the middle part of the state, up in Amory, in the northwest part of the state. We go into a lot of small towns, not unlike where you and I grew up. And I think it's important to remind young people in particular, you know what, you could grow up in a town of 1,000 people or 5,000 people. I mean, heck, what's where Jimmy Leonard grew up? What, 1,000 to 2,000 people? You could grow up... You can grow up in small town Wisconsin and don't let your dreams go because you can still achieve those dreams. I think that's an important thing to remind people of.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more. It's, I can remember growing up, I had dreams of being a professional athlete and, you're doing the different projects in school and things like that. And I remember some people, making comments or kind of shutting that down and didn't want me to get my expectations too high and all of that stuff. And to be able to, still go about and reach some of those goals. I know it's somewhat of an outlier statistically. But I do think whether you're chasing those goals, good things are going to come from that.
Who did you have somebody,
even if you don't necessarily reach the end goal?
Did you have somebody in your life, Brady, whether it was a teacher or a coach, I know your family was supportive, but were there one or two individuals when some of these other people were kind of downplaying your expectations, saying maybe you shouldn't think that way? Was there somebody, one or two people that said, no, go for it. No, believe in yourself.
Yeah, mainly my dad, honestly. And as cliche as that is, it's just, he was somebody that always encouraged me to chase my dreams. And my parents gave me, a ton of opportunities, whether it, traveling around in AAU basketball, going to football camps to, try to get recruited, supporting me to get highlight tapes out and sent in the mail to different coaches just to try to drum up some interest. Whatever that was, they were always supporting me and giving me the tools that, I could invest in myself to continue to get better. I'd say that was my dad first and foremost comes to mind. And then just some of my other coaches, supporting me. And my teammates, honestly, the guys I grew up with, some of my best friends still today, we were on it together. We were on a mission together to, make the school better, make each other better. And, Yeah, so it was a fun journey.
Great things can come when you work together and have great support as well. Your parents, by the way, are my two of my favorite people in the world. Always, when I get home to see mom, I mean, I get to see them walk the dog. I get to say hi once in a while. Always got a smile on their face. They make me feel better just by seeing them. I want to talk for a second about the Badgers and the job that Luke Fickell and Phil Longo are doing since they arrived. I mean, these dudes are everywhere. And now they're putting up these electronic billboards in Wisconsin and Illinois and I think Minnesota, which, by the way, as I said earlier, just has to tick P.J. Fleck off incredibly. If there's anybody who I'd love to see ticked off, it's P.J. Fleck. But, I mean, what do you make of this? I mean, the job that they've done, I mean, getting C.J. Williams from USC, bringing on, Tanner Mordecai, bringing on Nick Evers, this kicker, this four- or five-star kicker from Ohio, Nathaniel Vakas, who hit a 57-yarder in his bowl game. I mean, they're just relentless.
Yeah, it's crazy to see what has transpired here in the last month from, you know, a lot of uncertainty and trying to figure out where the program's going. And for, you know, Fickell and the staff to basically double down and, you know, go out and put their money where their mouth is, so to say. And, the amount of quarterbacks, receivers, like you said, a kicker. I mean, you got some O-line, D-line commits and some other people in the pipeline. It is exciting, you know? And I think we were all excited with the hire, but to see actually come to fruition in recruits now and take that next step in the journey to, you know, putting a quality product out on the field.
And explain, Brady, to listeners, because I don't claim to be an expert in football analysis here, but the thing that I find interesting, we talk about excitement, I follow some of the main guys on the football team on their social accounts, Insta or Twitter, whatnot. Braylon Allen and some of these guys, they're going nuts. I mean, they're excited because of the way this new offense, they call it the air raid offense. You know, everybody thinks it's all going to be throwing. And there's certainly, I think, going to be more passing in this new offense. But explain what this means when Braylon Allen says, you know, rather than having eight guys in the box, maybe I'll have five. And what this does for the running game.
You know, there's always a balance, right? And I think historically Wisconsin has been a run-first offense. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I'm a fullback. I'm a Wisconsin guy. I love that. But when I saw that same tweet or post that Braylon Allen had put out as well, and he's not wrong. You look at some of the, you know, even the premier high school teams and premier college teams that, you know, run more of a spread style or air raid style offense, they create one-on-one matchups really, really quick because, you know, defenses can't stack the box with the safeties, you know, dropping the corners in depending on what formation you're on, and it just creates much better angles for the offensive linemen. And they're not having to do as much double teams and work up to the second level, you know, like linebackers or safety. It just gives great one-on-one matchups. And then allows the running back just to, Coach Settle, who was the running back coach when I was there, to go get their money, you know. And it allows them to go make a move on one of the safeties and prove why they're on scholarship. So
I think it's going to open. I think Braylon Allen could have a Heisman year this year. I mean, just because of the way it's going to open things up for him.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the guy is so talented. You know, they're getting some shoring up the offensive line and adding some good supplemental people there from Cincinnati, I believe. And it's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be different. It's going to be a change. But it's exciting, you know, with the talent they're bringing in. And hopefully that translates to a great team product on the field, you know.
Well, I hope so, too. I'm ready to go to the Rose Bowl next year for the college football playoffs and in the semifinals, Wisconsin, whoever. Well, maybe that's too much. Maybe that's too much. But, you know, wouldn't that be fantastic?
Hey, don't get too hard. I'm a little superstitious from all my playing days. You know, and more like routine, but don't get too far ahead of yourself.
Got it. Good advice. Good. Keep it calm, Todd. Thank you, Brady. Always great to see you. Brady Ewing joining us bi-weekly. We'll see you in a couple weeks, Brady. Todd. Take care.
Sounds great.
Thank you very much. Stay with us. We got the second hour of the Todd Allbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network next.